Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and joining me today, firstly, is Nick. How are you, mate?
Good on this Sunday evening here in down under in Australia. All eyes on the big one now. Wednesday morning, 4 a.m. our time, as we were just discussing with Christian, and I can't wait. Bring it on. We mentioned last time, Stephen, it's a mixture of nerves and excitement, and it still is the case.
Yeah, I'm a bundle of nerves that with every passing day, Nick. And come Tuesday when I'm traveling back as kickoff hits at 5 p.m. UK time, I'm going to be shitting myself on the train. Christian, are you feeling the same way as me?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. And yeah, look, as I said to Nicole earlier today, down here in Australia, to say my nerves are going through the roof would be an understatement. Like, I'm going from zero to not thinking about it. And then as soon as it pops in my mind, I'm at 100 at the drop of a hat. I'm not gonna cope until, unless I see, that we've got up on Wednesday morning.
And just before we get into talking about the games, I want to say a massive thank you to everyone who joined the space after the game against Kazakhstan on Thursday night. It was really nice to kind of hear people come on and interact with us, and it was a really good laugh we had talking about the game, talking about potentially playing Georgia, talking about maybe, fingers crossed, getting to the Euros. It was nice that people came in and had their say, and also thank you to Elena and Alec Macquarie for joining me on that as well. So it was really cool. If you haven't listened to it yet, it is still on Twitter. You can listen back to the recording and just hear everyone's thoughts post game for Kazakhstan. So we'll jump right into the game, boys.
Brilliant. Sorry, Steve. The spaces were, as you said, were brilliant. Also, that you mentioned his name, the article that he wrote, Alec, was sensational. I really
Yes.
enjoyed that.
That's another one. If you he so Alec wrote a post-match reaction. It was really, really well written. It's done really well on all our socials. So if you haven't read that yet as well, his thoughts are on our site and on X and on Facebook and on Instagram. Give it a read. It's a really, really good one. And so yeah, boys, we'll go into the game. So 5-0 against Kazakhstan, one of the biggest results for the Ethniki scoreline wise, and get just the meaning of the game for a long time. So Bakasetas scored a penalty, bit of a soft penalty. Belkas theatrics. It made my dad laugh even when I showed him the highlights, and it was a penalty, but it was a little bit soft as well. But we take what we can get. So Bakasetas converted that in the 9th minute to make it 1-0. A few minutes later, Masuras, excellent cross into the box from the right hand side. Belkas, the shortest player on the pitch, headed it straight into the net. Really, really nice header from him, and quashing the doubters of him starting, myself included. So fair play to Belkas there. And then Masuras again crossed it in for a second assist to Fodis Ioannidis to make it 3-0 in the 37th minute. And then Dimikas got from a corner crossed it into Gurbelis, who made it 4-0 just before half time. And with the game essentially over, Greece controlled it really well. Poyet made the correct substitutions to take off key players to rest them for the potential, well, for the final against Georgia. And just before the end of the game, Kazakhstan scored an own goal via a Mavrobanos header to make it 5-0 to the Ethniki, and that's how it ended. And boys, as we said in the chat, as we said in the space, we were absolutely over the moon with this result, because it's not just about the score, and it's how the team played. And for 90 minutes plus at a time, Greece were spectacular. Like, the football we played was brilliant. So firstly, I'll go to you, Nico. Give me your thoughts on this game.
5-0, 5-star. We mentioned it. We were saying, is it going to be hard fought? An early goal will be crucial, which it proved out to be exactly the case. We got our starting 11 spot on, but basically, didn't we?
Yeah, pretty much.
And one of the guys we were dubious on, Belkas, delivered. And again, this was in Alex's article. The first goal, the first one, it's a penalty, as you said. Okay, it's soft, but it's a penalty, and that's created by him keeping the play alive and being in the right place at the right time and not giving up on it. And the second one, oh, great ball in and great header as well. Very well worked goal. Then you're 2-0 up, you're in the driver's seat, and then it becomes 3 and 4, and we're in dreamland, and it was total domination. But I don't think it's going to be. We'll get onto the Georgia game. we all know it's not going to be that straightforward in a few days' time. But at 4-0 up, you're able at halftime, you're able to relax a bit, and we came out of the blocks a bit slower in the second half. Again, no real issues with that when you're 4-0 up and you've got a big final coming up. And then we end up getting the fifth, and Constantelias came on, and he was very, very bright. Unfortunate not to get an assist. Masouras and Yakoumakis, one of those two at least should have put their chances away. You guys mentioned it in the spaces as well, and the Ethnic Gear had it up after the game as well. Masouras, very deserving man of the match. There were many candidates, but for me, he was the best. The assist for Fotis Ioannidis as the third goal was sublime, as was equally as much a Fotis movement to create that goal as well. That was probably my favourite out of the five goals. But all eyes now on Georgia on Wednesday morning our time. What are your thoughts, Christian?
Yeah, look, you summed it up pretty well, Nicole, when you said, you know, five goals, five star. That's exactly what it was. And another really, I think, pleasing aspect of it, of course, there was the noticeable aspects like the 4-0 lead you carry into halftime. But I thought from the get-go, we were just pressing animals, like really, really strong in that way. You know, made Kazakhstan panic a lot. And, you know, you mentioned Masouras and Ioannidis, you know, they were massive, you know, in doing that. Poyet got his, you know, lineup spot on. We all questioned, I think, before the game, particularly the Pelkas at left wing. Steve, I'll join you there, myself included. I, you know, was skeptical about how that would work, but he proved us all wrong. There's no doubt about that. He was great. Yeah, and midfield three, you know, Mandalos, Bakasetas, Portbelis, just as, you know, working together so well. Fantastic. Back four, really solid, not really troubled at all, bar when, you know, Kazakhstan had that dubious shot that hit the post in the first half. And as you touched on there, Nico, you know, Constantelias with his, you know, little cameo for that 20-odd minutes in the second half, you know, and that was fantastic too. And, you know, he could prove, you know, vital come Georgia in a few days. So no, I couldn't fault any of them at all. Coach, players, really solid team effort. Really hard to pick them out at the match, even though Masouras, you know, might have shaded it, but they were all brilliant. So all power to them.
And yeah, I guess no one put a foot wrong. No one.
And I guess that, like you said, Christian, credit has to go to Poyet as well, because he set up the team exactly how, well, me and Nigel predicted. But at the same time, you know, he managed to get a fantastic performance out of the team. And even though I'm maybe not his biggest critic, but I would still say that his substitutions and the players he brings on, he needs to kind of have those plan B's and C's, as I always say. Didn't need it in that game because the game was already over by half time. So his plan B was just rest players, and he did an excellent job with that regard. So yeah, look, he's fighting for his contract at this point, because he's got how many days now? Seven. He's got a week until his contract expires on the 31st of March. So if it's quite simple now, if he gets us through to the Euros in Germany, he'll get a new contract. But if he doesn't, then obviously Ebol can say goodbye to him without having to pay do a massive payout for him. But look, full credit to Poyet as well, like, because I think he deserves the praise for this performance just as much as the players do. I guess if there's like a nitpick, it would have been nice to have seen Zolis come on in the second half to see what he's about and see if he can get a goal or create something. But I can also understand that he didn't really need to bring him on at that point, because the game was over. If we were chasing the game, maybe he would have brought him on. And you know, if it was still 0-0, or if for whatever reason we were a goal down, potentially. But other than that, I can't fault Poyet's tactics in this game, and he got us playing some excellent football, which we are capable of under Poyet. You know, I think Alec in the space highlighted he is one of the best win rates of any Greece manager for not just a long time. I think
we said it last week.
Yeah, and we said it last week as well, Nico.
Yeah. You know what aspect I love the most across the board, coach, players, everything? They went in with a belief, and they knew, you could see it, the look in their eyes, you could see it on their faces. Before the game even started, nothing was going to stop them in conquering their dreams in reaching a major tournament. As we said last time round, other than Zavellas, none of these guys have ever featured in a major tournament. And as we said, he didn't come on. He's not going to be a you know, key player in all this. So virtually none of these guys have featured in a major tournament. A lot of them are up and over 30 years old already. And you could see the burning desire. You could see it in their faces, as I said, that they were going to go for it. More of the same against Georgia. And good luck to them stopping us. I know, as I said, it's not going to be straightforward at all over there, and we'll get on to that. But if they play with this determination and desire, as Christian said, with the pressing, good luck stopping us.
Yeah. And do you know what, Christian? I mean, going to Kazakhstan very quickly, I think I was quite surprised at how they showed up, how they didn't show up against us, because we'd seen how Kazakhstan, you know, beat Denmark 3-2 in the qualifiers. They deserved to be in the playoffs because of the performances they did have in their qualifying group. And so even though they had 14 shots, looking back at the highlights, the two shots on target they had were both outside the box, and they didn't really create anything that kind of scary inside the box, barring the shot that hit the post, and we were already 2-0 up by then. So it was interesting that they kind of, maybe the occasion got to them because they've never qualified for anything. Were you surprised at how Kazakhstan approached this game?
Yeah, it was interesting because you could see with a couple of, I think particularly with the two goals for us that, or two of the three goals, I think that were crosses, the two from Masuras and the one from Simikas, their want or desire to close those opportunities down, it just didn't look like it was there. And I don't know, they, like us, would have been high on confidence pre-game, but I'm only surmising here, but I think we just crushed their confidence with the two early goals. To be honest, it just destroyed any, you know, will they had to, you know, realistically make a game of it. They had, as I said, you know, they went close via a huge deflection in the first half. But, you know, once the third one and the fourth one went in, you know, it was pretty much curtains. So if I had to put their, you know, them not turning up down to something, I think we just crushed their belief and enhanced ours.
Yeah, that's kind of how I would assess it too. And you know, I think it shows that they potentially weren't as tough as we perceived, but also at the same time, I'm glad we didn't take that for granted, because we could have so easily gone into their thing, oh, we'll just comfortably brush them aside and they could have got the better of us. So I'm glad that we took the game seriously and we kind of eliminated them within 45 minutes and then had the second half to sort of make those substitutions and conserve energy for the game against Georgia, because we were pretty much, if not 2 foot through, 2 foot, 2 feet through, I guess we were like 2 point, I don't know, 1.999 feet through to the final. And I guess we'll go on to Georgia now, because there's not really much else we can say about the Kazakhstan game, unless you guys have any last thoughts, because it's more like, There's no negatives to take from this. So it's like, other than saying Greece were good, Greece were amazing, Greece were brilliant, et cetera, et cetera, we've pretty much said all we can say about Kazakhstan. So, I mean, yeah, it was a great result. Really, really amazing night. And it'll be made all the better if we qualify for the European Championships. But before we do that, we have to go to Tbilisi and play Georgia. And it's going to be a tough prospect, boys. So we did this on the space, but I'll do it again. So going through Georgia's fixtures of 2023... excluding the friendlies, because they played some really, really bad teams in the friendlies that they had last year. So in the European Championship qualifiers for 2024, they drew 1-1 with Norway at home. They beat Cyprus away in Landegger. They lost to Scotland away. They lost at home 7-1 to Spain. They lost 2-1 away to Norway. They then beat Cyprus 4-0. I watched that game. Really shit. They drew 2-2 with Scotland at home, and then they lost 3-1 away in Spain. So, and obviously now they more recently they beat Luxembourg in 2-0 in their playoff game, where it apparently was comfortable, but there were also some VAR decisions that massively went against Luxembourg in that game as well. So it could very easily have been Luxembourg to go through. So they and also looking at the other qualifiers just quickly. Georgia ironically seemed to have the hardest time of it, maybe barring the I think it was the Ukraine game when they had to come back in their one. So yeah, so and also what was we highlighted in the space that they've only lost two games at home in the last, I think, 2 years, and it was Spain, the 7-1 against Spain, but also the last team to beat them before that was Greece. So we have a good record against Georgia, but it won't be easy. And while we may have a better team than them on paper and other slight favorites, as I keep emphasizing, they have Kvaratskhelia, who's pound for pound the best team out of both teams, I would argue. So, boys, give me your thoughts going into this game. I'll start with you, Christian. What do you think about what do you think how do we approach Georgia out away from home?
Yeah, look, I don't think they're going to be scared of them. There is plenty to probably be scared about. You know, their fans make a raucous, you know, home atmosphere. As you say, I think two losses in the last, what, 2 years at home, one of which against us, which, you know, should hopefully give us confidence. And back then, we were under a manager who I think is inferior to Poyet. So, you know, that's interesting in itself. Yeah, look, I analysed their squad a little bit. You know, when I had a spare moment at work the other day, you know, there's Kvaratskhelia, but there's, you know, a lot of other players that play, you know, really high levels. Kashia, you know, strong centre half, 100 caps. Mamardashvili, Valencia's goalkeeper. You know, it's not just, and, you know, their win, albeit there was probably a bit of luck attached to it with what went against Luxembourg. You know, they proved probably that they're no one-man band. They got the job done without him against Luxembourg. So, oh man, each time you boys have probably just seen on the Zoom, each time I hear the name Georgia, I just, you know, I start shaking. This is so nerve-wracking. This is, yeah, I haven't experienced anything like this for a while. So yeah, they're going to be a formidable opponent, but I don't think that our boys are going to be scared of them at the same time.
And Nick, I guess we have that hunger as we highlighted in the previous game to get through past Kazakhstan, and we're gonna what have that drive to reach our first major tournament in 10 years. But then at the same time, Georgia have that incentive too, because Georgia have never qualified for a major tournament, and this is probably their best chance, maybe ever, depending on how they do in the future. But they will want it just as much as we do. So I mean,
They will.
that's why it's going to be all that much more difficult going into this game.
It's bloody away. That's what makes it so much harder. The fact that it's away. If this was in Greece, I'd be so much more confident.
Yeah, same.
I mean, I still back us. I mean, it's not like I don't back us, because as I said before, if we approach the Georgia game like we did with Kazakhstan from the opening whistle with that intensity, that determination, we're going to be very hard to stop. But Georgia's another step up when you compare them to Kazakhstan, and you're playing in front of 55, 60 odd thousand. And as Christian said, I saw the Luxembourg game as well. The atmosphere was huge, and they're going to be right up for it, their fans. And we even last time you mentioned where we beat them there, that was a really, really hard fought win where the two goals came so late. Again, it was a while ago, so you can't even look too much into that game, but got to stop their danger men. That's stating the obvious. Then from there, we have to focus on ourselves. And I don't think there'll be too many changes to the 11, if any. I doubt there'll be any. As you said, Stephen, probably changes with the subs depending on how the game pans out. I just really hope there's no extra time and penalties. Our fate, it's in our hands for now. I don't want to think about the possibility of a penalty shootout to decide it.
I agree. Keep it in within 90 minutes. Just end the game off and finish. Take those chances, because as we saw in the Kazakhstan game, obviously Yakovmakis and Masuras missed two doable chances to make it even more so. It could have been 8-0 against Kazakhstan, but at least we took our chances with the players that had started on the pitch
No,
and
exactly. I was doing the tweets during the game and all that, and that's what I said with the full timeline. We're clinical when it mattered. Sure, we had the two big chances late on with Masuras and Yakumakis. Kostandelias had a deflected shot as well. But when it mattered in the first half, we took our chances to perfection. And that, again, clinical when it matters. Again, guys like Fortier, Masuras, when it matters, go take your bloody chances, and we'll be fine. Press them. As they're saying, Greek, yeah, what's the saying? Meto, as they say, go for it. And if we do, as I said, we're going to be hard to stop.
And I'm looking at Greece's away, like our away form going into this one. So the only games we've lost in 2023 that were away from home were France and Netherlands, and those are, you know, top teams. They're both already in the European Championships anyway. So I guess that gives us a little bit more confidence too. If you really look further back, we lost to Hungary away in a friendly, and Hungary are in a good place. And I guess before that, it's Cyprus. It was
Forget
the
the
1-0 which
friendly. It's
the
only
Nations
really
League.
France and the Netherlands that have had our measure. And that wasn't straightforward at all for them. And we took a point off France, and we're unlucky in one of the games against the Dutch not to.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess we take these with a pinch of salt, but looking at Greece's away form overall, it's been in from 2023, it's been very solid generally, with considering who we play. You know, the Irish we had was our biggest kind of fight for outside of Netherlands for top two. We beat them home and away, and they had some decent players, despite the fact, you know, the national team for them is in a bit of a mess. So I guess our we can take heed that our away form is at least decent enough that we can go there and not get sort of kind of overwhelmed with the occasion of going to somewhere where the vast majority of the supporters are against us.
When we mentioned before, Stephen, with the 11, when you got guys that Bakasetas, Masuras, Pelkas, Kourbelis, these guys are all around 30, 31. They're experienced. And they're pretty much at their peak of the powers around about now.
Yeah, and it could be the first generation for a long time that
The guys I
accomplishes
was bagging
national
all these years.
accomplishment. Yeah.
That generation that I was bagging all these years. 40 is younger. Kostandelias, obviously much younger,
Yeah, he's the
but
future,
a big chunk of
Kostandelias.
them, Tsimikas younger than them as well. A big chunk of them are that age group.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, looking at them, so Baskalakis is 34, Vlachodimos is 29, Bulldog's 31. Going further down, Bukaylakis, Kourbelis, Pelkas all 30, and Bakasetas all 30. Zeka is 35. Masuras is now 30 as well. 29. Giakoumakis is 29. So it's that generation are the ones that can, you know, could succeed for us, finally get us to a major tournament for the first time in 10 years. Yeah, it's going to be
And
really
what did you
interesting.
say? I think it was the three of us in the group chat, but a few days ago. Cast your minds back to Euro 2012 qualifying. We needed a win in Georgia to wrap up first place in our group ahead of Croatia. As I said, we needed a win in Georgia, and we delivered. And it was a late, from memory, it was a late Haristeas goal
And it was
that got
Charistairs.
that win.
I think that might have been his last goal for the Ethniki as
Yes,
well.
it
It was his
was.
final goal.
What I might do is try find some highlights of that, and we should post it before the game.
That could be good, actually. Yeah, show previous our previous kind of exploits against Georgia. So let me just look at the overall competitive record of Greece versus Georgia, because I think that it we actually, like I said, we have a pretty decent record against them. Let me just look head-to-head record. But I don't know how many fans are being taken, or away fans are being taken to Georgia. I'm not quite sure.
Not many. Not
No.
many.
Yeah, from what I
It's
saw,
hard
Luxem
to get to.
yeah, and Luxembourg didn't have heaps, I think, from what I saw, you know, when they went there.
Okay, so in six matches against Georgia overall, Greece have never lost. Four wins, two draws. So at home, Greece have won all three of their of our encounters with Georgia. Away, we've won one and drawn two, and that was all competitive fixtures as well. Not no friendlies, World Cup qualifiers, and European Championship qualifiers as well. So we have a good competitive record against them. So that is also a good gauge. But then that might mean nothing in football. This might be the first time we lose. It might, but hopefully it's not. You know, for our sakes. And I think it's, I think it, like you said, Nicole, with a slight favorite. So it's more down to the players to make sure they show that mentality that they did against Kazakhstan and just go and kill the game off. And for Poyet as well to not make any rash decisions with his lineups, with his kind of substitutes and with his tactics. Just do what we did before, and but even better, because Georgia will be a tougher prospect.
Oh, significantly tougher, and it's what he sort of hinted at in his press conference that he hasn't got it for the Kazakhstan. I haven't got a plan B because I'm so confident in my plan A.
Even
I
I,
kind of
this is what I've been saying for years now, ever since he joined. He doesn't have a plan B, but look, if his plan A
yeah,
works, it's great. But
but as you said, they got to do it better
they just have to do it better. Do your plan, get a,
because
do
it's
your
going to be
plan A
harder.
plus, not just a plan A, plan A plus.
Yeah, as you said, I think we've just about got a better 11 than them, but over the two sides, out of the 22 starters, they got the best player.
Yeah, for sure. Kvaratskhelia, who, look, if we can stop him, there's every chance we can stop Georgia, but as Christian said, they do have other players who are good as alongside them, and they will want this like
Yeah.
just as much
And
as us.
Steve, I think we can take a bit of, confidence in the fact that it's not Mavrias or Bakakis that will stand up Kvaratskhelia Skelia this time. It's a Baldock or a Rotter. So
exactly. Yeah, exactly. We seem to have like a good we have a good crop of players now who are all kind of doing well for their clubs. I know one or two aren't playing consistently, like, you know, Hatzioannis isn't playing for Cagliari because after coming back from his injury. But this generation feels special. Hopefully it delivers and we can do a podcast on Wednesday or Thursday, whenever it will be, and celebrate us qualifying for the European Championships. And we will do a Twitter space regardless of whether we go through or not. So you can join us on that for some celebrations or commiserations, whichever it may be. I guess
hopefully it's Uzo celebrating Uzo.
Oh yeah, I'm buying the Uzo 100%.
I really don't want to be here talking disappointment and being devastated. Oh, now the stars are aligning, now's the time, let's get to a bloody major tournament.
Yeah, come on. We you know, and you know what, Nick, we even said further back this could be the year for Greek football, for like finally after what's felt like so long, which, because it's weird, I feel like the last year for Greek football was probably like 2014.
It was
2014, and it's been a downward spiral, but now we're finally starting to see a bit of growth with what, with, you know, the Greek clubs in Europe, the league being so competitive, Greece on the pinnacle of reaching a major tournament again. It feels like the good times could be back, and I really hope that is the case.
We were talking about this almost 12 months ago,
yeah,
in the off season podcast that we were doing, saying how big a year it's going to be with four clubs in Europe. Well, we had five in qualifying, so five, yeah, clubs in Europe, a hard fought race for the title in the league, these March playoffs that we knew were coming, and here we are now, at the peak of it. This is we're at the climax now. We're at the business end, because then after this, you've got the run in with 9 match days in the league remaining.
Yep, on top of Balkan Olympiakos, both in Europe still as well. And we'll have to see how they do. But matter what, maybe just as an Olympiakos fan, for me and Christian, we've had a very roller coaster season. But I hope for both us, for all of our club's sakes, and for the national team, it ends off in the best possible way, and it just ends off right, and there's no outside influence, you know, that ruins it, because we want the football to succeed in Greece overall.
For now, I'm not even thinking about match day 2 of the playoffs for Panathinaikos. I'm not even thinking about it.
No.
We'll worry about that when the time comes.
I'm keeping an eye on like little bits, tidbits of news from Olympiakos, but in my head, I'm just like, you know what? I trust Mendilibar to just like go sort that stuff out. Let's just focus on Greece and try and get to the Euros. And I guess we'll kind of start wrapping up there. Is there any last thoughts you want to give before we kind of leave it there? And if there's any last bits of news you want to chat about before we go?
Yeah, I think just quickly, Steve, Nicol briefly mentioned the lineup a bit ago. Would you make any changes to the starting 11?
Yeah, you know what? We'll do a lineup again, even though it's going to be pretty redundant. We might as well. I mean, I don't think there should be any changes. The only one I would say, I guess the other nitpick I would say for Poya is, would have been nice to see Siobis get a bit of a run out against Kazakhstan as well. But again, the Kurbelis, Bakasetas and Mandalos, who started, were excellent. No problems with what they did. Would have been nice to have seen Siobis come on, but maybe he's saving Siobis for the Georgia game as well.
I was just going to say, that's the flip side to not probably seeing Adzolis or Siobis, is that they're, you know, 100% fresh if need be for, you know, the Georgia match. And, you know, Konstantelias as well, albeit he did get some minutes, obviously, against Kazakhstan. But I think, yeah, you couldn't really make much of a case for that lineup to be changed.
Yeah. Nigo, you happy with the same lineup for the next game?
You can't bag him if he sticks with it. The guys went out there and did a job for him, including guys like Belkas, Mandalos and Kurbelis. That Kurbelis hasn't played much football this season until fairly recently. They all did a job for him. You hit the nail on the head. The only sort of one for me would be Siopis.
Yeah. And if they feature...
And again, you can't bag him if he sticks with what he went with for Kazakhstan.
And if those two feature as Zolis and Siopis, well, not necessarily starting, but if they come on at a point against Georgia, that would be great to see. Other than that, I'm happy with the lineup. It sounds like you guys are too. So
yeah, another thing that interests me, I think Georgia against Luxembourg started with a back five.
I did see now, that, whether, to be fair, yeah.
Yeah, now whether that was because Kvaratskhelia didn't play, I don't know, but yeah, that's going to be interesting how that plays out, because if they start with a back five, it's almost like they're going to expect us to be the dominant side almost and do most of the attacking. I don't know.
And that'll then be they'll try to do that again. Counter, yeah.
It's a good point you mentioned, because I was just going to say before we wrap up, it feels like to me now, well, definitely quite easily in the last 10 years, we've got our best attacking unit now. Guys like Masuras, Ioannidis, the other two strikers that we've got in the squad, Bakasetas, the goals can come from a variety of sources. And if they're going to start like that, you back us to be able to break them down, those sort of defensive sides. It's like before you think, oh, shit, where are the goals going to come from? Remember those days?
Yeah, even when we had like actually some decent strikers.
When we had guys playing at a club level still.
Yeah. And we always still win 1-0, like 2-0, 2-1 every game.
Whereas now you don't have that worry. Yeah. Al Academy in his article as well, it's our joint biggest win since 1978. And it's not like it's against Gibraltar that we did it fairly recently too.
Yeah.
And Kazakhstan's much higher quality than Gibraltar.
Yeah, I would agree fully.
And Georgia again is another step up, as we've said numerous times already in this episode. I guess one final thing, the youth, one of our youth sides didn't fare too well.
Yeah, a few of them haven't been doing so great recently. And I think the under-21s lost, was it to Portugal? They lost 2-1, I think, something like that.
They got Belarus beat the under-21s 1-0. Yeah.
That's it, sorry, yeah. It's a shame. Maybe they miss Zolis, because Zolis has been their main goal provider over the last year or so playing for the under-21s. But Zolis needed to be part of the senior team. It will feel like maybe he should have gone with the under-21s if he doesn't play a single minute of football for us in this international break. But his form for club, how he's been performing in the second Bundesliga for Dusseldorf, and it warranted being called up, and especially for two crucial games. He needed to be part of it just to have him there as an option. He's too good to be part of the under-21s at this current time. And if there's another international break for the under-21s and he could feature, then I guess he could go then. But he needs to be part of the senior team now, realistically. But I think that's... I mean, I guess there's one last thing I'll say. It's not about the ethnic, it's about Cyprus. Cyprus drew 1-1 with Latvia. It was okay, I guess. We had some chances, and that was it. Yeah, Cyprus did okay, but Cyprus is still not very good. That's kind of my
Nevis had one of your relays there scoring.
Sorry, is that okay?
St. Kitts and Nevis, whatever they're called.
Yes, so if anyone didn't see, so San Marino played St. Kitts recently in a friendly match, and one of the players who scored... let me just bring this up, because I can't remember his name. San Marino.
Banayodu, I think it was.
Yes, I think it was Banayodu. I think his name.
Yeah, I couldn't remember where Nicole was going with that, and now it's clicking. It's coming back to me now.
Yeah, so
he was in the group chat the other day.
So St. Kitts have a player.
What are you talking about?
They have a player called Harry Banayodu, who his dad is Greek and his mum is from St. Kitts and Nevis. So fair play to him. He's chosen St. Kitts over Cyprus. I mean, you know what? With the mess Cyprus is in right now, I don't blame him. But yeah, fair play to him. He scored against San Marino in the derby of Island Nation. Well, no, San Marino's not an island nation. What am I talking about? But yeah. Yeah, in these kind of... And they're playing again in another friendly today, if anyone wants to check that one out. But yeah, that was quite a funny one. As I said, Cyprus not very good. Had some good moments in the Latvia friendly. They play Serbia on Monday, so I'll be watching that. Yeah, let's see. It's also a friendly too, so it doesn't really mean anything. But yeah, boys, I think that's everything. So guys, thank you so much for listening. We like I said, really appreciate the support on the space that we did on Thursday night. Was it? I've lost track of time.
Yeah,
now.
Thursday
night.
You.
That's it for Europe. And please keep following us on social media if you haven't already. We are on X. We are on Facebook. We are on Instagram. And especially over the international break, we love interacting with people, because everyone gets together for the Ethnic Eid before club football returns and everyone starts hating each other again. And if you haven't listened to us, or if you haven't, what am I saying? I'm just falling apart now. I'm just so nervous about Tuesday. If you haven't already recommended the podcast to someone else, send it to them if they are interested in Greek football or just want to hear a quirky podcast about Greek football in general. And if you haven't already, leave us a 5-star review because that helps us in the charts, helps us get more listens, and it is really, really a confidence booster for us because we love doing the podcast and we love doing what we do at Hellas Football. So yeah, Nigo, Christian, thank you very much, and we'll be back after the game on Tuesday to either celebrate or commiserate. So we'll catch you guys then.